Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way.
Wow, you're learning by heart.
I got it down. It's only taken me a year.
A year or so.
I'm Paul Androlonis. I'm joined in the studio by Philippe Siragi.
Mm-hmm.
We're back together again.
Yeah.
And looking forward to this conversation
today. Despite my several attempts to hide in places, you found me, and then you had security bring me in the studio.
I did. I was like, "Where is he here?
Find him.
Is he here? Get him here.
Get him in here right now.
Get him here. I don't know what else he has going on, but he needs to be in the studio right now to talk about the deep work that God is doing in our lives. The deep work that
don't get me started on the word deep.
The depth of God in our lives and the impact that the depth of God has in as we're going through situations, as we're understanding where we fit in. And that's what our conversation is going to be about today, like the fiery trials that we find ourselves in, or the
all good stuff
of God working and refining in our lives. And it's going to be a great conversation.
Well, I guess we'll see.
I mean, that's the expectation, the anticipation.
And then there's expectation, anticipation, and then there's the result.
There's the result.
It's like we never know.
The jury's still out.
I guess we'll know soon enough.
Yeah. Right. So what do you have to say? What do you think, how do we want to start off this conversation about the depth, the deep work that God's doing in our lives and the impact of situations, circumstances, trials, the fires that we find? The rest of the week will be about maybe more specific trials or fires that can creep up into our lives, or the things that happen in our lives that force us to have the depth of God. But from a general standpoint, and maybe from an introductory standpoint, how does the work that God is doing in our hearts and the depth of who we are as human beings impact the way that we handle those different situations that we come up in?
Well, I mean, we could lay down some like foundational ideas when it comes down to our practical lives with God, because I think obviously the natural and the supernatural don't get together. It just doesn't work. You cannot, this could look at so many passages in scripture where we just can't understand the things of God in the natural. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 2, many places in the Bible where it's impossible for us to understand. So I have to, when I leave my Christian life, have to understand this and walk by faith. I'm saying this because sometimes when we go through difficulties, we never understand or rarely are capable of understanding the reasons that God would have to allow us to go through those things. So when I go through difficult times, trials or fire, which is the theme for today, then I always have to ask myself the question that would God have a reason, for me to go through these? Is there a need that I don't see? Is there is that the way that God thinks is better suited for me? And then we could give many, many examples. Just as a side note, I teach apologetics at, the Bible College. And my view on and my response to, the famous question people ask about God, how can you believe in a good God when there's so much evil in the world? And my question, I used to argue a lot, then I still do in some ways with the typical arguments. But then I ask the question, do you think there's room for God to be way smarter, way more intelligent and resourceful than you and I? So he may have actual valid reasons to allow what he allows in this world. And by nature, the answer has to be yes, because God is God by nature. So it's like for me to compare to God, it's like the same thing as for me to explain to Einstein why I agree or disagree with his, theory on relativity or quantum physics for the later, physicists that came up. It wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And I'm saying all this just the idea that it is completely unnatural for me to understand those things. But God gave us many examples and many support verses in the Bible that we will go through that show the need, for difficult times and trials. And just as an example, I think I gave that example a couple times, but so if you heard the story, sorry. But I mean, it's a personal for me, like 15 years ago, I came back from a trip, in a country in Africa that is known as the hub for TB, and then you come back. I felt good, and then 6 months later, I started to feel real bad, and I had a rare form of tuberculosis because the bacteria lodged itself in my lymph nodes, which is the immune system, And I lost 35 kilos, 75 pounds in 3 months. Got completely bedridden for a month and a half, unable to work for 6 months.
Yeah.
And I always wondered, you know, like, what the heck, you know, like, it's, I'm directing a Bible college in Paris, you know, I got to be there. And I learned a few lessons on leadership. Number one, when I came back to the office, like, my absence didn't make any difference.
Sure.
Like, yeah, in a way, like, you're a useless, unprofitable servant at the end of the day, you know, so that was one lesson. But on the other side is, would I have learned the lesson that I did learn that I needed for my life later on if God was not as, you could say, radical in the trial? I don't think I would, because I know myself, and one thing that I do know, I'm pretty stubborn.
Yeah.
And God has to use the nuclear options many, many times. And you could say, well, if you were more humble, you didn't have to. Yes, that's the problem. I'm not humble. Yeah. That's why. So I'm talking about my own experience.
Sure,
I'm not saying people, you know, are proud or whatever. Well, the Bible does say we are pride. So whatever, if you're offended, then take it up to God. But I think we are pride. We're proud people. We are. And men, even more than women, many times. Mm-hmm. So God has some radical ways sometimes. And they're just pondering on this possibility that God's wisdom has to be way bigger than my understanding can grasp. Mm-hmm. So that allows me to enter into trials with trust and faith, even though it's hard. So that would be one way to understand maybe the conversation today. God is doing work in our life, a deep work, to use the title.
Yeah.
And that work, by definition, has to be done a certain way.
Yeah.
And God knows, it's almost custom fitted for all of us. Would he do in your life what he did in mine? No, he wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because he would get the results he want in your life, the same result that maybe in my life, you would have to do it completely differently. And maybe you wouldn't need a trial for this one. Maybe you can learn by meditating on the word on this particular one.
Yeah.
But sometimes God has to go with a nuclear option.
Yeah.
You know?
That's such a, I mean, just your testimony, that the fire that you went through in that time, it's such a, like you were just saying, like, okay, God, why is this happening to me? While you're in it or whatever is going on, you, maybe you look at other people who are going through things, and people go through some severe situations, and the question I guess that people can ask is, like, what is the purpose behind this? Like, and do I have the answer to that question always? Do I see, like, why God is putting me through the situation as I'm going through it? More often than not, no, you don't see, okay, well, I understand why God's having me go through this, so that down the line I'll be able to go through whatever other situations he puts me through, looking back on this as something that I can learn from and grow in. And as you're in the midst of that health crisis that you're under, there's lots of questions, there's lots of uncertainty, there's lots of, you know, the knowledge of man trying to help and to understand what it is physiologically that's happening with you, trying to help you in by medicine, by means of medicine. But then there's also the deeper stuff. There's the bigger stuff. There's the eternal things that are happening also at the same time beyond the physical, where you're kind of looking for what the purpose is in this, bigger than just how it happened, you know, because there's an explanation for why you are experiencing what you're experiencing, you know, from a medical perspective, or in whatever situation, is like, you're going through this situation because you decided to do this, and then you decided to do that. And if we look at it that way, maybe we get an explanation for how we got where we are, but it doesn't necessarily give us the why it's happening that way. And I think that we can get in our own ways, or try to explain away the things that God is trying to do by having explanation logically of how we got to where we're going, in hopes that we can explain logically how we get out of that situation in order to get through it. It can be frustrating for us, I think, because maybe the solution is not as logical as when we're looking back at the steps that got us there. Maybe the solution is not clear, and we don't look to God in those different situations. And I think that refinement is something that's like a theme throughout the scripture as it relates to the fire that we go through. We see it in the sacrificial system. We see it in lots of different other imagery that happens in Psalm chapter 66 has this explanation of refinement that I thought was relevant to this conversation. Just thinking about us as we are going through this life and thinking about the fires that creep up. And we'll talk about Daniel chapter 3 also, with the Hebrew boys going through the fire. But in Psalm chapter 66, starting in verse 8, it says, "Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us and have refined us as silver is refined, and brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs and have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment." So like, my thought is, what is my perspective of the situations and the fires that I'm going through in my life or whatever the trials are? Am I looking at the end goal or the potential for after I get through that situation and looking to God as him doing a work in me in order to refine my life, in order to refine my perspective about what's important in my life, in order to have a fulfillment at the end of it, having the fullness of who he is and recognizing him as my resource as opposed to any of those other things that maybe I am looking to find fulfillment in, right? With the purification of a metal, we see it with silver and gold is used in scripture of it is refined by the heating up of that metal by fire so that the impurities rise to the top and the dross can be scraped off the top so that it can be purified and be as pure as possible because of the fire that has made those impurities. And that's the same thing that is happening in our lives in some ways. And it can be difficult, especially if I've made those impurities or those things that are not fulfilling a big part of my life when I go through the fire and those things start to be brought to the surface as something that is not beneficial and something that is not good for me, then it's going to be a difficult thing for me to have removed from my life. You know, I've dedicated years of my life maybe to a career or to a expectation or to a goal, and now God is putting me through a trial where all those things that I find fulfillment in are now being burnt up by the fire of the situation so that I can be brought closer to him. And will I have a fulfillment in him as opposed to those other things that, and that's the real question with this, the depth of what God is doing. Like, okay, what's important? It's really, what is the important things and what is the impurities or what is the meaning, not meaning, the meaningless things in my life, what's important and what's, what's not. And how is God exposing those things in my life for me to find the fulfillment in him and what he has for me? As difficult as that can be, you know?
I think, again, you know, we have the idea of perspective that we're talking about also. Like, can I see my life through the lens of scripture, through the lens of the Holy Spirit showing me things in my life that are said in scriptures that God would do? Because God made us a promise. We are saved and we are going to grow. We're growing in sanctification, in righteousness. Okay, it has been imparted to us, but we, in our experience, then our sanctification is a process. And that process requires some move from God that seems unpleasant. But the reason why, you know, in a way, if you take some gold, you know, and if you don't purify it, then you have, I mean, the, as far as I understand, I may be correct in that, but the what I learned about, you know, precious metals is you of course, when you purify them, they get more precious, but mostly they get more solid, right? Because a ring can break if there is some impurities, and it won't break the cleaner it is. So in that way, but have we ever seen gold purify itself? No, it doesn't happen. Because in our lives, if we take this, then we're complacent with the lives. I love my little cute scenes. You know, we have in Sebastian, who speaks French also, we have the expression in French, right? Le péché mignon. It means the cute little scene. You have this small scene you keep for yourself. You know, like it's mostly as a joke we use when people love pastry and stuff like that. Oh, it's my cute little scene. So it's like it's harmless. And we are very complacent with those impurities and realize, well, God wants me to be... He wants to use this metal that I have here to do a ring. My ring is not big enough if it's impure to stand the test of time. It's been on my finger for 25 years. It's still intact because it's very pure. So whatever God's use he has in mind for me requires a certain level of impurities to be removed. And that won't happen if I'm left on my own, because left on my own, my soul clings to the dust. And I love my little cute scenes. I don't have a problem with those. I think they're very nice. They're very cute. They don't do any harm to anyone. And God says, well, they do harm to you. Mm. Right? So when we see trials and fire, there is a purpose in it. If we read James 1 or 1 Peter 4, we can read those at some point. But that's what I like about you're saying is like the process of these purifications of the metal. It's not just because we want a special, clean, nice metal. It's also, it will add to his durability. Yeah. And I think there's a parallel also, like how much of my life can be used. Like if I'm material built for a bridge, mm-hmm. right? So we have a collapsed bridge. Was it a year ago?
Yeah.
What a major bridge to collapse on our, in our area, the Franklin Scott Bridge, mm-hmm. It's what's surprising for a lot of people around. How did that go down so easy?
Yeah.
So we could, I don't know, the investigation will tell us maybe. But the point is, if you are an engineer, you're building a bridge and you want to get the best metal possible, So if you and I are called to be bridges, maybe sometimes reconciliators, ambassadors for Christ and mm-hmm. helping situations, a bridge has to be solid, mm-hmm. And so what I'm saying is that God's purpose in our trial is not just for me to look clean or look nice. It's also for me to be useful in the hard times for others as well. So I can be, that's, I don't know. And for me, I'm very much edified by people's testimony mm-hmm. when they tell me what they went through in their lives and how God used that for others. I think it's very defining, So that's mm-hmm. also the point we can look at and realizing the fire we're discussing is not just a selfish betterance mm-hmm. of somebody like, oh, now look at me, I'm shining more. There's mm-hmm. no shining involved here. There's solidity and durability mm-hmm. in our lives. Because when you went through a trial and you learned from God and about God through a trial, you're a different guy on the other side.
Yeah.
So your counsel is different. I've been told this, I never really noticed. Some of my friends told me like a year and a half after when I completely recovered, I spoke here and there, and I've been told a few times, you're a different guy when you preach or when you teach. Never noticed, mm-hmm. I hope it was, they meant it in a good way. Yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying? So maybe, and then one thing, like for me, like I'm 99% of the time I'm happy. I'm having a good time. I don't let things bother me. I'm not really subject to stress in that way because I don't want to, or it's not, but not completely natural. It's not, I'm not spiritual that mm-hmm. way. It's just so like maybe anxiety and depression is something that I have no understanding at all because then, I don't go through this naturally. But then when you're the weakest, physically, it has an effect on your psyche. Mm-hmm. And I went through times of depressions and anxiety and things that I've never experienced before because I was super weak. When you lose 35 kilos, 75 pounds in 3 months, you don't have a lot of strength left. And that affects you. It's a chemical imbalance in that way because of your weakness. And then I'm thinking, I can hear myself thinking to people who were, before that, oh, you're having a hard time, it's depression. Yeah, just trust God, it's going to be okay. Now I can't say that anymore because I couldn't get out of it myself.
Yeah.
So on one way you realize, wow, that's amazing. What you can learn. And now this trial taught me to relate to people who go through things differently. So that's what I mean. Like I was able to learn things from my walk with God in my leadership, but I was also able to learn things in my relationship to others. And maybe more compassionate instead of being a distributor of verses that we could, here's the prescription. You read this verse 3 times a day, and then you'll be fine, I mean, yes, there is room for that. Our rewiring of our thinking is necessary with the truth of the word. But it's not a one size fits all where, the compassion and love and care and understanding makes a huge difference. Hmm. And I didn't have that before.
Wow.
I have some of it. I don't have all of it. But I mean, I think the trials that I went through taught me that, and I wouldn't even think about it today if I didn't go through that.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by, God's perspective is knowing sometimes what he's going to be using us for down the road and what we need to learn on the way when we get there so we can be helpful.
Yeah, I guess like as we're going through those different things and, maybe more significant trial or more significant fire, comparatively speaking with somebody maybe who is going through something as health wise or a family situation mm-hmm. or relational type of things? Like, is the, what am I looking at in while I'm in that fire, while I'm in that trial, mm-hmm. while I'm going through something? Am I looking at the things that are being burnt up, or am I looking at the things, or am I looking at God and looking for the things that God is exposing, the things that matter, the things mm-hmm. that aren't being burnt up in the midst of this yeah. thing, whether it's my relationship with him, whether it's the purpose that he's called me for, whether it's my faith in him, or whether it's just looking to him, the author and finisher of our faith, and having that be the reference point. And I think I've heard of this picture described in the arrangement of the tabernacle and the way that the different articles of the tabernacle are presented, is that first thing that the worshiper brings is that sacrifice, coming to the altar and bringing it before, and there's a fire there that burns, and there's the thing maybe at that time in history, like bringing a spotless without blemish a calf to be sacrificed. That's a valuable thing in my life that I'm bringing before God as a means of worship. Mm-hmm. And as I'm bringing that thing, I can focus on the thing that's valuable in my life being burnt up. And I've heard it described in the order, the way that things are arranged, is like you're looking at the sacrifice. And if you're looking past the fire of the sacrifice, you see through the, into the holy place, and then inevitably into the holy of holies. Like mm-hmm. I'm looking past those things to the person that I'm worshiping, to mm-hmm. the person who is the deepest part of who we are, is connected with God. And that I'm looking past that sacrifice or that thing that's being burnt up, because I can focus on that, saying, oh my gosh, there goes everything I've worked for, there goes this thing that's so impactful in my mm-hmm. life. And I'm not discounting those things necessarily, but in the scheme of what we're talking about, in the perspective of this conversation, I can focus on the thing, which isn't going to change the fact that it's getting burnt up, because it's not something that is pure, something that is meaningful in the eyes of God necessarily, as much as it's important to me. But then I'm looking past that to the person that I'm, that has a impactful and has a meaningful and deep purpose for me in the God that I'm mm-hmm. worshiping, and the God that is bringing me through that trial. So mm-hmm. I can focus on all those things that are getting burnt up. But what am I learning as I'm going through those different things that I'm going through? I'm learning the valuable things in my life. I'm learning the important things in my life. And as you've already said, there are different things that you maybe look at differently now that you've gone through that, that maybe prior to that you didn't value in the same way, or maybe mm-hmm. you felt like you had a, you were more important to whatever you were doing than you actually were. And God has given you maybe an appreciation for that, and realizing, oh, maybe in this situation, I think I'm more valuable than I am. And it can help you not only in what you're doing, but in also leading and helping other mm-hmm. people in their mm-hmm. perspectives. Like, okay, well, maybe you're valuing this thing more than you should. And mm-hmm. maybe it's actually God is trying to teach you like what the valuable things are in your life. And I think, like I said, the refinement aspect of these things, and what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and start in verse 12, it says, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work for what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. And I think that is just, and actually in verse 16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Like those things, what am I building on? What am I building my life on? And is this refining fire that God is having me go through, you know, whether it's experientially right now, the different situations I find myself, the difficulties I'm going through, mm-hmm. everything is going to be put through the fire one day. And maybe it's a mercy, honestly, that God is exposing those impurities in my life now, as opposed mm-hmm. to me having it exposed when I see him face to face and realize, wait, yeah. I live my whole life for this and none of it matters. So it's kind of, to think of the fires we go through as a mercy or as a grace, mm-hmm. is kind of maybe not a popular way of doing that, but it's
counterintuitive. But
yeah,
it's true.
It's kind of exactly like what the fire of the of the angel guarding the Garden of Eden, like God casting Adam and Eve out of the garden is like, man, that is harsh. Why is he having them go through that? They were in this perfect place. They were able to till the ground. They had a purpose. They had a plan. And now he's kicking them out. And it's actually guarded by an angel with fire, as we see the imagery of that through the throughout the scripture. And it's like, okay, well, maybe it's actually a mercy that they're seeing the holiness of God in a real way and not being familiar with what the holiness of God means in their life. And maybe in a similar way, we see these trials and these fires that we go through while, like I said, not discrediting the impact it can have on my life, but it's actually God showing me and exposing those things that maybe I've put in a place they shouldn't be, and maybe I valued them more than I should. And maybe the thing that I think is gold in my life is actually wood, hay, and stubble that's going to be burnt up one day.
Yeah.
And he just wants me to find the gold that he has for me in those different situations and in my life in general.
Yeah, and also, like, let's say, like, I mean, there's things that are personal in our lives. We know that we'd be in our flesh, you know, shameful or embarrassing, you know, and that God had to take care of in our lives. Yes. And if God didn't let us go through fire, then we would have entertained those cute little scenes we're talking about that would have grown into full grown up dangerous scenes, you know, that could expose us someday. And God is saying, well, I'm going to nip this in the butt, you know, and we don't like it. We you know, we could see, well, I can see myself, you know, just like people who are delusional about their addiction. I stop whenever I want, you know. Like I'm smoking, or it could be like a drinking, any kind of drug addictions. You know, anybody who works with addicts tell you it's a common occurrence. People tell you, well, I'm not an addict. I stop whenever I want. But they never stop because they never want.
Because they're choosing to not stop.
And because they can't choose anything else. When you're hooked, you're hooked. You know, it's the same thing with our sins. So God is putting us through a time of fire. And we're not saying, you know, I mean, just to make sure you understand, like, guys, we're not saying, like, we should be happy all the time. And just because, oh, it's fine. You know, I lost three children in a car accident. Yeah, but God loves me. That obviously would be, if I hear somebody say this someday, I'm going to think, okay, he's about to get a nervous breakdown, because that is not possible to think this way that quickly in a trial.
Yeah.
So there is grief. There is all these things that come along. But the one danger is to be hyper spiritual and saying, well, we dismiss the reality of our grief.
Yeah.
The other one is thinking that God has nothing to say or nothing to do with our grief. And that we're trapped, you know, we're trapped in, so having this time of trials, they're not something we look forward to. They're not something we necessarily enjoy when we go through them. But we look back and say, I can see why God did this in my life. Now, would I go through it again? Maybe not. No, maybe not. But do I want to unlearn the lesson that I learned through this? Certainly not either, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Is there's in James 1, you know, there's the whole from verse 1 through 12. You know, there's the idea, like, I think it's verse 3, you know, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. I mean, out of 100 people, how many people are patient? We're not patient. We want things right away. And we know, because the most thriving company in the world is the one that allows us to get what we want the fastest, which is Amazon. You know, so they are successful because we can't wait, you know. And now we even have same day delivery. It's not even like, I've ordered something at 10 o'clock in the morning. I got it at 2 p.m. thinking, what the heck? It's like, it's amazing. It's amazing, you know. It's like, wait a minute. I have an option for free to get something. It was like, $25 or something. I could get it in the afternoon. What is this? Somebody waiting with my package somewhere in you know, 2 blocks away to bring it because they weren't even wanting me to be happy or something. So it's like, what the heck? So anyway, so the point being is that we're not patient. So God said, well, I'm going to help you with this.
Yeah.
You know, and do you think, and of course it is, but don't we think that our patience helping our relationships? Like, if we're impatient people and we deal with people all the time, patience becomes super crucial in our relationship, particularly as leaders. So God's going to tell, okay, well, you have to go through a few things before you learn patience a little bit. So in this idea, like, there's a purpose, you know, in James 1, 1 Peter 4, 12, there's a clear purpose for trials and fire in our lives. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think like those things that are exposed to that fire, as we've already said, mm-hmm. it will be pure. It'll show the things that are valuable. They'll show those things that are important. Shows the in a way the simplicity of God and the simplicity of those things, where we can overcomplicate our yeah. lives, where we can misplace those things, and we can sacrifice. In a way, we're sacrificing in a lot of different areas in our life, whether we realize it or not. We're sacrificing our time, we're sacrificing our resources, we're sacrificing things in our life. But what are we sacrificing those things to? Is, I think, what is important for us to have a distinction on. Like, I could bring my time and my energy to whatever expectation I have. You know, there's different examples in the Bible of the sacrifices that the pagan gods required of the people. So this is not something that is foreign to the people of Israel at this time. It's something that God is showing them the purpose in these sacrifices mm-hmm. and these things, where I am not sacrificing to a God that doesn't know what I'm going through, or a God that is some inanimate object or something that I have no reference point for or whatever. That's kind of what the Book of Exodus and Leviticus is outlining for us, the requirements for worshiping God and that fire, the sacrifice of bringing those things before him with the expectation of the provision that he will provide and the relationship that goes along with that. And we see that throughout scripture now, as Christ, you know, Christ being the sacrifice once and for all, that we are being brought and experiencing the fullness of that relationship in a real way. And I think, like I said, we are going to be, there's sacrifices that people are making mm-hmm. and what am I making those sacrifices to? Mm-hmm, and there are people are going through these situations, regardless of if they believe God is in it or not. We are experiencing those situations, and it's not saying, well, if I'm going to go through these trials anyways, then I might as well trust God in those things, with this like kind of surface level, well, like God's going to, like you said, hyper-spiritual mentality or mm-hmm. meaninglessness of the situation that I'm going through. But like the thing is that I'm going to go, as human beings, we are going to have these situations that come up, and I can go through them alone. I can go through them with another means for overcoming them, whether I think it's financial or relational or some other man-made resolution to these mm-hmm. problems that I have, as I was saying before, like logical explanation for why I'm going through what I'm doing, going through what I'm going through. Like mm-hmm. you could say, like with depression or with anxiety or whatever, I can look at it from a humanistic viewpoint, saying that, well, it's just chemicals in your brain and switches that are flipping in your brain that are making you feel the way that you're feeling. And that's the explanation for why you're feeling the way mm-hmm. that you're feeling. But how do I change that is the question that yeah. people have a difficulty in. Well, we can adjust the chemistry of your brain in order for you to not feel that way. Mm-hmm. But it actually doesn't change the depth of what it is you're actually experiencing, which only through God we can really experience that. So I think in how we are viewing the situations we are going through, is it through this logical explanation that we're going through, or is there something deeper in all of these things, which we know it by looking at scripture, that there's eternity that God has put in our hearts. There's a immaterial part of us that is real and that is impactful in the way that we live our lives. And as we go through the situations, are we just getting, you know, scratching the surface of what that thing is by trying to explain it? Or are we trying to get to the root of those things and to understand the work that God is doing through those things in order to relate to him, really? Because if I find out why it's happening and maybe I find the solution for how to prevent it from happening again, am I fulfilled in that, in knowing this happened and I'm going to prevent it from happening again? And am I going to cover all the bases in my life for every potential situation that I could find myself in? Mm-hmm. And is that the way that I live my life? As a situation comes up, I can explain why it happened. I find a solution to make sure it doesn't happen again. And then another situation comes up, I explain why it happened. I find the solution. I make mm-hmm. sure it happens. And is that a fulfilling life mm-hmm. that I'm living? And is the life that I'm living actually like the gold or the silver or that metal, that pure, solid, simple, valuable thing that I want it to be? Or is it just that cycle of me just trying to figure things out in order to, and it's all kind of like just spiraling inward and finding out the different depravity of man and the different things that are going on with humanity. And is that fulfilling is the question, you know, that I think people have a difficulty in answering. And we all, because what if I don't find the answer to those questions? Mm-hmm. What if I don't know why it happened? Because that is the reality too. Like everything's not logical. Everything situation I find myself, every fire I go through is not something that I can explain or understand. Like, why did the hurricane hit my house and destroy it? Mm-hmm. Like, because the trajectory and the wind and the way the earth was moving and all those things explain how it happened, but why did it happen to me? Mm-hmm. Like, and how does that, how, what type of fulfillment can I find in those situations? And am I looking for fulfillment in that? Or do I just fall into the depths, the depravity of the emptiness of life without God?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's, we go back to the idea, like it's almost like either or. Either I get God's perspective or it's mine. It's always the case.
Yeah.
And either, and it takes humility for me to go to God and realize, okay, maybe you do know better, you know, and of course he does, but I mean, that's my timid approach to God, you know, realizing. So it's just like we have this conversation, you know, like hope is a good word for us Christians, but if you don't believe in anything, like hope means nothing at all, really. There's no substance behind it. Mm-hmm. Hope is just wishful thinking. Oh, I like to go fishing tomorrow morning. I hope the weather will be good.
Yeah.
But I have no control over it. And nobody does because there's nobody out there.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing as Christians. Can we just realize that we have a different way of thinking, that because God does exist, it changes absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. But also we have promises in the Bible. So if God exists and there's no promises, I already know that someone is out there that can control the weather. Or the circumstances.
Yes.
But that person who can control the weather, all my circumstances, made me and you promises. So that's a whole new level of thinking. So either I go, and we go back to the famous two-story house that Pastor Shallow uses a lot in his messages. He's not saying we should live in the first floor or the second floor. He should say we shouldn't just not live on the first floor, but we live in both. We have real trials, real issues. We have our feet on the ground, but our head is in the second floor. We think with God, and we have bring His perspective. So that's a very important understanding to have. Is like, yeah, I am going through like my neighbors, everybody, Christian, non-Christian, Buddhist, atheist, whatever. Everybody goes through difficult times because we live in the fallen world.
Yeah.
Now, as Christians, we do have a way of thinking that is different, and we have those promises that we were talking about. That means it can, my thinking can be different.
Yeah.
And depending on that, I decide to humble myself before God, I will have a different way of thinking, or I won't.
Yeah.
And it's either or. It's not both possible. You know, yes, you know, God is not rejecting our grief and the process and the connection we have with our emotions when we go through something difficult. But our emotions is not the end of it. Even my thinking, my reasoning, even my brain capacity is not the end of it. There's more to this life because God exists. There's more to this life because the God that does exist gave us some promises that He said, oh, yeah, and amen. Amen. So yes, there's more to life than just my perception of it. There's more to life than me thinking it's unfair that a tornado hit my house and not my neighbors.
Yeah.
Think of a scenario. We can think of 100. Let's say you're a Christian. I'm not a Christian. We live on the same street. I'm next door to you. Tornado passes and it wrecks your house. You're the Christian.
Yeah.
And people could say, look at that. The Christian got his house gone, and this guy over there has his house intact. Where was you, God? Well, wait until you see what God does in my life, my response. Because 1 Peter 3:15, we're told to be ready to give an answer for the reason, for the hope that is in us.
Yeah.
Now, as a non-Christian, I have my house, but I have no reason to hope anything because, you know, but you lost your house, but you have something to show me as a Christian.
Yeah.
And that's the point that we're making, is that as Christians, when we go through trials, we also go for others, you know. So that's something very important.
For other people to look at us. Because
yes.
I couldn't help but think of the, in the Gospels, when the Pharisees bring, there's a blind man, and they ask Jesus who sinned, him or his parents. Like, there's this kind of connection between the trials we go through and whether or not we're sinful in the eyes of God, which obviously in the reality, we are all sinful people and we all deserve all these things. But there is this concept of like the judgment of God on those who are sinful and us going through those different situations and Christ healing him and answering that question in a different way than we are expecting and all the different trials that we go through, the perspective being for us, but also for other people that are looking at us, as you were saying in the scenario you gave of where other people are looking at us going through the trials and how do I handle those trials? That's not the reason why I'm trusting him, is so that people will see that I trust him, but to see the fulfillment that I find in trusting him. That, and I think it can be difficult when we are going through those things and we aren't trusting him, or when we don't see his purpose and his plan, because we have examples and we have people in our lives that they've been through very, very, very difficult things in their life. And maybe it's the testing of their faith and the trial of their faith and recognizing who Christ is in their life has been incredibly difficult. But the fulfillment of that life, because I think, that is the question. Why do bad things happen to good people? And, you know, this question of what do you mean by good, it comes into play. But also, like, there are bad things that happen to people that are trusting God. And we see many examples of different missionaries or different people. And I think it's adjustment in that perspective of like, okay, well, is this life that I'm living more valuable than it's meant to be? Am I meant for something greater, something more? And just as we maybe wrap up a little bit, we have the story of in Daniel 3 of these three Hebrew boys, and Nebuchadnezzar gives this, he creates this statue of himself and forces everybody to fall down and worship it at a particular time when the trumpets sound. And we see his leaders come to him in verse 12 of Daniel 3. There are certain Jews among you who have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. And then he's in rage and fury, commands that they be brought before him. He asks them, is it true that they're not bowing before the image that he created? And they say, O Nebuchadnezzar, in verse 16, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will you worship the gold image that you have set up. That's an interesting thought of sometimes the fires we go to are of our own choosing. Like in our faith, in our situations, in the decisions that we make, in the culture that we live in, sometimes we choose to go through the fire. We've talked a lot about the things that we have no choice in, the things that happen to us maybe, but there are fires that we go through that we choose because of the trust that we have in God. And maybe that's something that is a different way that we're looking through the depth of what God is like. My relationship with God, is it giving me that confidence to choose the fire of the life, of the situation, of this life that I'm going through, knowing that I'm going to go through the fire and trusting God in that fire? Because they say, if God doesn't deliver us, let it be known, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up, like making a choice of whom I will serve, understanding who he is. And we the rest of the verses talk about them being burnt in the fiery furnace. They were bound, their coats, their trousers, their turbans. They were put in the fire. They turned the fire up. The flame of the fire killed men that were outside of the fiery furnace. That's how hot it got, right? And then in verse 24, King Nebuchadnezzar looks and he says, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king, you said. Look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Right? And thinking about these fires, whether we choose the fire or whether the fire chooses us in the life that we live, like Christ is with us in that fire. What's my confidence level in him and trusting him? And am I willing to humble myself, as you were saying, and submit to the work that God is doing in me, knowing that through that fire, he is going to work a far more exceedingly weight of glory in my life, that maybe I won't understand even what that weight of glory is or what that fulfillment will look like on the other end. But do I have that relationship with him that I am in the midst of the fire that he is with me? And I don't know, in your example, like with your trial that you went through, like what did that look like as far as like Christ being with you in the midst of that? You know, you've talked about maybe anxiety, depression, and there are people going through those types of trials right now, whether it's, you know, there's tons of examples of them that we've talked about already, but like, what does it look like to have Christ with you in the trial, or to look, be looking for Christ to be with you in the midst of it? Because we know that he is, but what if I don't feel his presence? What if I don't see him in the midst of the trial? What does that look like? How do we deal with that? Yeah. Maybe deal with that is the wrong way, but how do we
handle that? It's a good question. I think it might be a little too long of an answer for us.
Too late to ask.
But I think maybe just a couple thoughts on that. Number one is, in our mind, we can know for sure God is with us. Now, do we experience it on a daily basis? Maybe not. But there's another lesson that is maybe a little bigger than just feeling or not feeling, is waiting, which is a big word in the Bible. And it's particularly in the book of Psalms, where we have many times wait on the Lord. And I think it's 135, where David says, I have waited on his word. So sometimes I have to convince myself that his word is true. And even if I don't feel like it, he's with me because he said so. So the waiting is a big part. I think, and we go back to the, I don't want to blame Amazon because they're doing a good job doing what they're doing. But I mean, it's the same idea. We want everything right now. And God
immediate
says,
gratification.
Yeah. And God says, I'm not a vending machine. It's not because you put $1 in there, you're going to get your Coke, you know, your Diet Coke, whatever you have. So God wants to be waited on sometimes. And I think maybe we go through some, there's not just like, okay, I have to feel him or not. Can I just not feel the presence of God and trust that he's there and wait on him? That is also something big that God wants to do in our lives.
Wow.
So it's not just, you know, because if I recall, you know, did I have like plenty of, oh my God, this trial is so good, it brings me close to God? No, absolutely not. There's many days, weeks that I'm thinking, but you know, like when you don't know whether you're going to make it or not, and you don't think for yourself, but you think for others as well. So it's like, it's a different way of thinking. And do you have like a fresh verse every morning when I get up, you know, or a fresh thought because I have time to meditate? Could spend days reading the Bible and get nothing out of it because God wants it. Well, you're going to have to wait for this. You know, like God does not rub some, you know, vapor rub on your chest. You feel better all of a sudden. You know, God is not like a quick fix.
Yeah.
He needs to be longed for, not for him because he's complete without us, but for us to see how important it is for us to really, really search him. Because even if I search God and I find him right away, I don't look for him anymore. I snap my fingers and he's there. And what kind of relationship do I have with God if I can snap my fingers right there? Not a respectful one.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
And I mean, we're going along, but we can't stop. The Israelites, when they do that, when God does answer what they want in the wilderness, the quail and the water and all, whatever, it's like,
never
okay,
happy.
They were still discontent with him. So we, in the same way, if I want God to fix it quickly, like maybe it's not, I will still won't be fulfilled in that, even though he's giving me what I want. But maybe there is that waiting that needs to happen in those things. And I can anticipate the relief of that, whether it's and what that looks like. You know, obviously, maybe in some cases there is no relief in this life. But there will be relief when I wake up and I see him face to face and I have his glory shining on me. And I realize, oh, this is what I was waiting for. Like, that's what we're waiting for, really. And maybe where God is just teaching us that anticipation and that excitement and that longing for him as we're going in through these different trials that we find ourselves in the fire. Man.
Amen.
So good.
A really good time.
Well, thank you for listening to the podcast today, the Grace Hour Show. Make sure you subscribe in all the places, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Facebook, anywhere else that it is. And be sure to listen the rest of this week.